Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and to live toxic free. It's Monday, April 28th, 2014, and I have two wonderful guests today. We're going to be talking about cell phones and brain tumors and your right to know what's toxic and EMFs. And the reason that we're doing this is that I was so inspired by my first guest. Actually, we're going to have both of them on at once, but I originally contacted my first guest because she and others sent out a press release about how they did a demonstration at a cell phone store in San Francisco, and they just walked in and put warning labels on the cell phones, little stickers with warning labels on the cell phones. And I actually don't have the sticker right here in front of me, so I can't tell you what it says, but she can probably tell you. But I was so impressed by this because I have often had the thought that I just want to, labeling is just so inadequate that I just want to walk into like a supermarket with a roll of stickers that have skull and crossbones on them and stick them on everything that's toxic and walk into Walmart and all these big stores that still have toxic things on the shelves and just put stickers on them and make shelf talkers that just will say, caution, this is a toxic product. Use it at your own risk. And Ellen actually walked into a store and did that. So she got my attention. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about what she did, but we're also going to be talking about why she did it and what we can do to improve our right to know and the labeling. So my first guest is Ellen Marks. She is the director of the California Brain Tumor Association. And I also have with us today Representative Andrea Boland. She's a representative in the Maine House of Representatives, and she's considered a national expert on electromagnetic radiation, health and safety hazards of cell phones, and other things. Now listen to this. She introduced the first legislation in the world to ask for warning labels on cell phones to alert users to keep them away from their head and body, especially those of children and pregnant women. So, hello, Ellen and Representative Bowen. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, I want to ask both of you how you got interested in this subject. Ellen, why don't we start with you?
Okay. Well, if somebody would have asked me about 10 years ago, I never would have thought I'd be doing this. But unfortunately, about almost six years ago, my husband had a grand mal seizure in the middle of the night and was diagnosed immediately at the local hospital with a large tumor, glioma, in his right frontal lobe. At the same time, my son had been interning for Senator Kennedy, and the same thing happened to him about a week later. And my son was the one that brought it to me, and he said, "Mom, they were both on their cell phones all the time." And it was true. My husband was a heavy cell phone user for nearly 20 years. He was what we call an early adopter. So I started researching it, and I was shocked to find things. And, you know, at first I thought, oh, if this was true, our government would have told us. Well, I was kind of naive, wasn't I?
Well,
so
yes,
there was a lot of science out there.
When I first discovered about toxic chemicals, I thought, well, how come there's toxic chemicals? Because isn't the government watching out for us? But they aren't.
No, they're not, unfortunately. I mean, there are some good legislators, such as Representative Boland and
yes,
Senator Leno and in California, Dennis Kucinich, who was. And there's some good legislators, but unfortunately we can't get enough done. And the status quo is not good enough anymore. We need to change this. So anyhow, I did find out. I sent my husband's medical records, cell phone records, to experts around the world. And they did get back to me and said that more likely than not, his glioma, which was on the same side of the head to which he held the phone, was attributable to his cell phone use. So I have since testified to Congress, been involved in trying to get legislation passed from, you know, from Maine to Hawaii, and very active in the San Francisco Right to Know legislation, because I want people to know. If my husband had known, and many others, my husband's not alone, trust me, I have a list a mile long of people who are dead or dying that are much younger than him. And had he known, he never would have risked his life by holding this to his head. And that's what we want people to know. And unfortunately, even though we've tried getting labeling laws across the nation, and Representative Boland's been fabulous with this, I just can't thank her enough, this industry is beating us up. And they're not telling people the truth. And unfortunately, our government, from the very top, from President Obama down, is involved in this collusion between the FCC and the CTIA, the wireless industry. So that's how I got involved, and I've dedicated my life to this because I see the devastation, the brain tumors, and they are on the rise.
I understand. I have a very dear friend who, I think he's in his early 40s, very brilliant, a very kind and caring person, and a very, he spent so many years just with like the cell phone glued to his head. I sat there and watched him do that. and he called me about a year ago and said he had a brain tumor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, he had an operation, and I'm thinking that he's fine. I haven't heard from him since, but I heard that he survived the operation. But, I mean, he was, I mean, like 40, 42, something like that when this happened. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I can't walk around saying, well, my friend, I know for a fact that my friend used his cell phone for hours on end every day, and he got a brain tumor. But you have put together evidence. There's,
right.
You know, and so I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing. I understand how you feel, because when I found out about toxic chemicals and consumer products and I was made so sick from them, I said, wait a minute, if somebody had told me that there were toxic chemicals in all these products that have no labels on them, then I wouldn't have used them. I think that everybody has that sense that if we know that there's a danger, we're not going to put ourselves in harm's way. And that the biggest problem is that we don't know where the harm is, or that people are making controversy out of it. And, you know, you understand.
You're right. And the controversy, you know, with this issue, and Senator Boland will tell you in a minute also, there is a lot of good science. When they separate the independent science from the industry science, there's excellent science showing that there is an increased risk of brain tumors from cell phone use and from cordless home phones. People need to be aware of that. They need to get rid of their cordless home phones and go back to the wired landlines if the cell phone industry is going to keep the wired landlines. That's another issue.
That's a whole other issue. Well,
exactly.
Representative Boland, tell us how you got involved in this issue.
Well, actually, it was brought to me by someone from California that Ellie actually didn't know, but someone, a retired college teacher, who had been looking at that issue, and he saw a story about me in a magazine and thought that I might be one who would pick it up. And when I heard about it, I just sort of groaned. I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't have enough things on my plate. But he sent a lot of good information, even information from Europe, and he translated it from, in this case, the French to the English. And so you couldn't ignore it. I didn't have any personal connection to the effects of cell phones that I knew of. But anyway, the evidence to me was overwhelming that certainly a warning label was called for to let people know we may have some serious problems here.
Yes.
So I went ahead with the legislation. We worked hard to design the label, and it showed, it had a graphic on it as well, because we knew at that time that cigarettes in other countries had graphics with them, you know, showing black lungs and that sort of thing. So we put a graphic on showing the brain of a 5-year-old receiving the 70% of the brain was receiving the emissions from the cell phones.
Yeah. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about cell phones and their health effects with my guest, Ellen Marks, who's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and Representative Andrea Boland from Maine. We'll be right back. listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dagg, and my guests today are Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and Representative Andrea Boland from the House of Representatives in Maine. Wow. So tell us something more about the health effects.
Well, I could start a little bit. First of all, in 2011, the World Health Organization did classify radio frequency electromagnetic fields that include cell phones, cell towers, anything that emits non-ionizing radiation, a possible human carcinogen based on an increased risk of glioma associated with wireless phone use. So they did this after they studied, you know, the findings, the science for, you know, weeks on end in Lyon, France. And they're, you know, the health effects are not just brain tumors. That's something that people need to be aware of. Just recently, they're finding out there was a study done. Women who keep cell phones in their bras are getting unusual breast cancers at young ages. And there's salivary gland tumors. There was a study out of China which showed a huge increase in salivary gland tumors where the antenna lies, and those can be lethal. And we're talking about prostate cancer and all sorts of things. Now they're saying, I think it was Martha Herbert from Harvard, who's a neuroscientist, came out with a report that she believes that Wi-Fi is causing an increase in autism. So there's a lot of different health effects, and the problem is that it's from the non-thermal emissions. And the FCC, when they're putting out their guidelines for the cell phone safety standards, are only taking into consideration the thermal effects, and this needs to be changed. This is a terrible, terrible mistake, and it's going to affect just about every man, woman, and child, you know, in America is using a cell phone. So how many future cancers and deleterious health effects are we looking at? And one thing I want to say also is that something that got Andrea and I and others involved in this is the language in the manuals. Andrea, you can talk a little bit more about this too. They're hiding, the cell phone industry is required by the FCC to put in what's called a safe distance advisory or precaution. And they're hiding them in tiny, tiny font on page 250 of the manual. They're not even giving the manuals out anymore. I don't know. Many people use the iPhone. Do you mind if I take a minute to go through what you have to do to find out the warning in the iPhone?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. It's quite amazing. I mean, who would know this other than us? You have to hit settings, and then you have to hit general, then you have to hit about, then you have to go all the way down and hit legal. Then you have to hit RF exposure, and in print that you cannot make bigger, like you can on most iPhones, It tells you, if I can read it with my glasses on, which is not easy, to reduce exposure to RF energy, use a hands-free option, such as the built-in speakerphone, the supplied headphones, or other similar accessories. Carry the iPhone at least 10 millimeters away from your body to ensure exposure levels remain at or below the as-tested levels. So, you know, they're hiding information like this. The BlackBerry says to keep it at almost an inch from the abdomen of a pregnant woman and the abdomen, lower abdomen of a teenager. Every cell phone has a warning like this somewhere, but the Americans aren't seeing it. Other countries are warning their citizens, and we're not doing it here. So, Andrew, do you want to talk a little bit more about the manual?
Well, the thing about the manual, of course, is that people don't see it, and they can't even find it sometimes if they want to. You might have to go online or dig deep into the phone, or, as Ellie said, you know, dig deep into a manual with very tiny print. My daughter recently got an iPhone 4, I guess it was, and there was a very thin little piece of paper that floated out of it that she wasn't even going to pay any attention to, and then she looked at it, and there was some information there about finding the warnings or the safety advisories, whatever they want to call them, and the print was so tiny that when I copied it to show the legislators, it was absolutely unreadable. So that's the kind of trick that they pull. But when you talk about the health effects, there are others too. There are effects to soft tissue, for instance, the eyes and the testicles, the reproductive organs. So in the blackberry, you know, where it's saying to keep away from the abdomen of pregnant women and the lower abdomen of teenagers, they're talking about birth defects. And, you know, what all I can think of is parents who are anticipating the birth of a child not knowing this information and then finding out too late that they themselves caused birth defects or other traumas to their newborn baby or their developing child growing. So I just really think it's criminal. And in fact, it probably is, because looking at Risk Management Magazine, which is a magazine that corporations go to, it talks about how there is actually requirements that, for instance, I'm reading, manufacturers have often been held liable where their warnings were deemed not conspicuous enough, were placed in the wrong location, or fell off of the product, you know, before the accident. Well, my daughter's probably would be called falling off or falling away. There are requirements for these. And so not only are there health effects and not only are the warnings hidden, they are actually flirting with the law to not have them obvious. So there's really so much there. And yet what happens is that children may develop and not have a good brain function, you know, be able to learn as easily. People could have difficulties with vision. I believe I do because of a problem with glaucoma where one eye had huge high pressure and the other one didn't, a little bit, but really essentially didn't. And the doctors were so shocked they couldn't understand where it came from. It was suggested to me that it came from my cell phone use.
Wow.
So I lost 90% of my vision in that eye.
So many things we don't know about this. We need to go to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Ellen Marks, founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and Representative Andrea Boland from the Maine House of Representatives. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about cell phones, brain tumors, labeling, your right to know. We've got Ellen Marks, who is the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. They are at CA, like for California, CABTA.org, CABTA.org. And also Representative Andrea Boland, and she's got a long URL for her website. Just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. You can look at the description of the show and find out how to reach each of these guests and any other guests, and find out that we have all over 100 past shows that you can listen to also in the archives. Let's talk about right to know and labeling. Representative Boland, why don't you go first? Okay, go ahead.
I think at about the same time, and Andrea, correct me if I'm wrong, that Maine was starting to look at this, that the city of San Francisco was starting to look at this issue. Originally, it was then Mayor Gavin Newsom and the San Francisco Department of Environment, who has been fabulous on this. I believe what I heard was that Gavin Newsom became concerned when his wife was pregnant and she was holding the cell phone to her abdomen. And by the way, I want to say something about that what Andrew was just talking about. There are studies showing damage to sperm, and there is a wonderful couple here in Marin whose young child at 4 died from a GBM, the worst type of brain tumor imaginable, which is very unusual in a child, and she does blame herself. She was a realtor and kept cell phones in two pockets while she was pregnant. So it's really important that pregnant women keep this thing away from their bodies. Well, everybody keep it away from their bodies, but especially pregnant women. So anyhow, what happened in San Francisco was that we came up with the Right to Know law. And it passed unanimously in 2010, but it was to post the SAR, which is the specific absorption rate, at the point of sale. Each phone has a different one, and the limit is 1.6 watts per kilogram. So anyhow, the CTIA did come in and sue. The deputy city attorney who was in charge of this case wanted to repeal it soon thereafter because he said he could not defend the SAR in court. Cindy Franklin and I, she is a fellow advocate up in Washington, has a nonprofit called Consumer for Safer Cell Phones, were very upset by this. We had worked hard to get this done. We knew that it was something that needed to be done. And we got hold of then Lieutenant Governor Newsom, and he got in touch with interim mayor Lee and said, no, this is not going to be repealed. This is needed. So what we did was we had John Avalos, Supervisor John Avalos, introduce new Right to Know legislation, which passed unanimously in 2011. Basically, it was to hand out a fact sheet at the point of sale, talking about the World Health Organization classification and some precautions that people could take. So it did not, the CTIA continued to sue. This is what they do. They've threatened everybody with litigation across the nation who's wanted to do something, but they did continue to sue. The bottom line is that San Francisco did not lose in court, but it wasn't looking good in federal court, but they did put out a non-binding ruling that this did violate the industry's, the industry's First Amendment rights, that it was compelling speech. So anyhow.
Well, now, wait a minute. Wait. Don't we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Oh, exactly the words that I use all the time, that my family and others have been robbed the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, yes.
Yes,
and those public servants who swear to uphold the Constitution swear to uphold those rights. And
okay.
They, too, are not doing it.
To me, life, that's the very first word that's used, is that we have the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life. So anything that violates life, to me, is unconstitutional. And it, not only is it unconstitutional, but it's unethical. That there are such things in the world as ethics, which means that you do the thing that promotes well-being. You don't do the thing that is harmful, and yet, you know, I'm going to make a really strong statement here, that, you know, people are found guilty of murdering people, and yet at the same time, consumer products that actually kill people are allowed to continue to be sold.
I cannot agree with you more, and I'm angry, and that's why I continue to do this. And this is why we fought back in San Francisco, and we had this changed, and it's pathetic what is going on. And it goes as high as President Obama, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. What happened was that in 2013, while the lawsuit was still going on, but the city was doing pretty good with it, actually, the new mayor wanted no part of it. He's a tech-friendly guy, and he wanted no part of it. So the deputy city attorney was right behind us lobbying that it should be repealed, as we were lobbying that it should not be repealed. And I'm going to tell you something now. I don't think, and many of us do not think, that it was a coincidence that 1 month later, the deputy city attorney in charge of this case for 3 or 4 years was appointed to become a federal judge by President Obama. We had about 20 other cities and states who wanted to do this Right to Know law. And this collusion and corruption is coming from the top. And it is sickening. And you are so right when you say this about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My family's been robbed of it, and I can't tell you how many families have been robbed of this. And Obama recently appointed the ex-FCC head, Tom Wheeler, to head the CTIA. And the revolving door continues. Last week, an ex-FCC commissioner was appointed to head the FCC. I think maybe I said that backwards before. Tom Wheeler headed the CTIA, and now he heads the FCC. And now we have the ex-commissioner of the FCC heading the CTIA. This revolving door is going around and around and around, and the corruption is starting at the top. And our hands are tied because whenever we try to do something, this industry who is, you know, fueling our global economy and has so much money and is buying politicians, buying science, trying to, you know, doubt is their product. It's just, you know, tobacco all over again, but this is worse because everybody's using them and it's a valuable technology. So we're as much as people like, wonderful people like Representative Boland and Lieutenant Governor Newsom, Dennis Kucinich, even Representatives Waxman, Eshoo, and Markey, who wrote to the FCC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, even the Department of Interior last week wrote a letter to the Department of Commerce saying that these FCC guidelines are inapplicable. And it's pathetic what's going on out there, and this is why I took the action that I did, and I think that we need a national labeling day, and I hope Andrea is with me on this.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back from break. We need to go to a break, and we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my two impassioned guests today are Ellen Marks from the California Brain Tumor Association and Representative Andrea Boland from the Maine House of Representatives, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Ellen Marks from the California Brain Tumor Association and Representative. They both start with the same R, Representative Andrea Boland from the Maine House of Representatives. So, Ellen, tell us what happened in San Francisco, and why did you take labeling into your own hands at the Verizon
store? Well, after the law was repealed, and it was the saddest day at the San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting when they went around and said, you know, their eyes to repealing it, they had their heads down, they were just embarrassed by what they had to do. And then we had, you know, Andrea will tell you what happened in Maine. We had this happen in Hawaii just the last couple of weeks where Senator Josh Green of Kona got a cell phone labeling bill passed through the Senate Health Committee, and then the representative, Senator Roz Baker of Maui, refused to hear the bill. It was the same week that she refused to hear the GMO labeling bill. So there's some industry manipulation going on there. And then Andrea will tell you what happened in Maine, which was just awful and sad. And we decided we're going to take the law into our own hands. And I don't call it civil disobedience. I call it civil obedience. We're trying to save lives. So my colleagues and I went into a Verizon store, and we started labeling the phones. We made sure that they were going to come off easily. I have to admit, I was a little nervous. I've never done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. It said something to the effect of this device emits radiation, which the World Health Organization says can cause cancer. Do not hold it to the head or body, especially pregnant women and children. We were in there for about an hour putting the labels on. They followed us around, taking them off. They were on the phone waiting for the police to come, and they did not come. And we made some statements.
But they didn't
to the
stop
customers.
You from doing it. They just took
they
them
didn't,
off.
They didn't. They couldn't stop us. I think they're probably informed not to touch us or anything like that. We kept doing it. And we wanted to make a statement that this is what is needed, and we're going to take it into our own hands if we have to. And like I said before, I hope that we can do a national labeling day. And I think there's enough outraged people across the United States right now that feel the same way that we do, that this does not violate their civil rights or their First Right Amendment, but it violates our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And this is affecting children And we're horrified about the effects. And it's not just cell phones. Like I said before, it's cordless phones, it's baby monitors, it's toys that are being made for 6 months old where you can put your iPhone in them for them to play with, and all sorts of things. So, you know, I would love for Andrea to tell you also about what happened in Maine.
Okay.
Well, what happened in Maine is the legislation I brought was announced with a press release in December 2009, and it went to the Associated Press, and it just went viral. And it was really incredible. It was all over the country and other countries. And I was sitting on the phone for about 3 days with all different media outlets, the first one being CNN, which was startling to me. But anyway, people couldn't believe that there was a problem with cell phones. And they were angry at me, and they were shocked. And some people did know and weren't surprised. But for the most part, it really caused a huge uproar. And then, and from there, I think there was a lot more that came out in the press and news magazines and everything. And that was just sort of kicking the door open. But I had a lot of these folks from California had been giving me some advice on it and all too. So we just kept bringing it forward. Anyway, the first label that I asked for actually said, warning, this device emits electromagnetic radiation, exposure to which may cause brain cancer. Users, especially children and pregnant women, should keep away from the head and body. And it had that graphic of the penetration, which has been modeled by a professor at the University of Utah, showing the effects of the emissions penetrating the brain of a five-year-old. So all of that caused a lot of uproar. From that, I've had two more iterations of it to tame it down because we couldn't have graphics and everybody was all nervous about the wording. This year was the third time it's been voted on in the Maine legislature. And all it said was, if you have advisories in your manuals for the user, put them on the packaging so the purchaser can see it, or some kind of a label that tells them where to find it. And the wording would just be RF emissions, information on RF emissions can be found, or RF exposure can be found at page such and such, or on website such and such, so that people have a fighting chance of finding it if they want to, because by this point, people know there may be some kind of an issue. It was so tame, we didn't use warning, we didn't use safety. We were careful to use no words that could be called compelled speech. We only wanted to use the words of the industry itself. Very, very tame. For information, go to. That's all it was. Well, it passed decisively in the House. It passed decisively in the Senate. And then there's a final vote. It's called a vote of enactment. And usually nobody even pays attention to it. It just goes under the hammer, no roll call, nothing, no discussion. But the cell phone industry put a whole bunch more lobbyists on the job in that last day and scared the devil out of some of the legislators just enough to turn it so that it didn't pass on what we call enactment, that final vote, which was, of course, very disappointing. But they had the help of the leadership of the House of Representatives, people who before had voted in favor of it. It did pass the House the year before. This time they all voted against it. What was that about? And they let people know they were voting against it. And it was a much tamer label. Also, the Attorney General was lobbying against having that bill pass. She was saying it was unconstitutional, even though we had a great constitutional scholar and Harvard law professor saying he would defend it all the way up to the Supreme Court if the state of Maine didn't want to, and he contested it. There's no way it was unconstitutional. So, but to see the leadership, and that's my own party, I'm a Democrat, the leadership turn against it after they'd voted for it in a prior year, mm-hmm. and to have the Attorney General working against it really shows you, as Ellen was saying, how deeply the problem goes, how high it goes, how low it goes, how deeply it goes for people who are anxious about the power of this industry. And in fact, the first year I brought it, I've been working with the AG's office all the way through with it, and the assistant AG, who's a constitutional scholar, to work with it to make it, you know, as careful as we could make it. And he had told me that the industry had come to him the very first time around and said, if this passes, they said it subtly. They let him know it anyway. He said it was very clear. They would sue the state of Maine. Well, we're a small state economically, and that's a very threatening kind of thing to say. Yeah. But like in San Francisco,
I hate to interrupt you, but we're getting near the end of the show. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that you tell us what people can do to be safer with this technology.
Well, as Ellen was starting to say, basically keep it away from your head and body. Use it on speakerphone or a wired headset. Children really shouldn't be using them at all because they're so much more vulnerable. And really, that's it in a nutshell, I would say. Texting mm-hmm. is better than having it up to your head, but your hands are still exposed.
Still exposed to it even when you're not using it, just having it in your pocket or, as you said earlier, in your bra or in your purse. Yeah. Or anything.
Right. If you have to have it on your body, keep it in airplane mode, turn it off. I mean, something people have to realize, I do not advocate against this technology. However, we do have to, and some of the manuals even say this, limit our use. Use a corded landline when you can. Don't stream videos. I mean, we're also talking about cell tower radiation, which is harming people and the environment. We need to be responsible starting with ourselves, with our families, at home and in schools. Wi-Fi in schools is starting to be a huge problem.
Right.
So turn them off when you can.
And you need to hold your representatives responsible. You need to
absolutely
call them and tell them.
Yeah, because this is a thing, like I'm sure both of you remember when we were all children, there was no such thing as Wi-Fi or cell phones or anything like that, and we all got along just fine.
You're right. I hate to say it, though. This technology is not going to go away.
I equate it to automobiles. I know it's not going to go away, but it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't escape it because
we need to make it as safe
the cell phone
as possible.
Towers and all those things, even if you're not carrying a cell phone, I mean, I can pick up my neighbor's Wi-Fi on my computer,
right.
And I don't even have Wi-Fi in my house.
Right,
and,
right, right.
And so
it's a very sad state of affairs that we let this get out of control. But
yeah.
Right now,
but
like Andrea
push
said,
back on it. I mean, it's still early on in the industry. It probably could be a whole lot safer than it is.
Yeah.
I've heard that they have patents on safer equipment, but they're not releasing them.
I have to interrupt you now. As much as I don't want to, I have to interrupt you now because the music's going to come on.
We can talk for hours.
I'm going to cut you off, and I need to say thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. And Andrea, thank you. And by the way, Andrea's running for state senate.
Yay.
Good.
Listen to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can find out more at ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and be well.